Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Bikini in the Brain. I am here with the hot orange Ashley Kutwasser. That's bright, hot orange, yeah?
Yes, fluorescent orange, which I match you kind of.
Hey, I'm wearing my NPC jacket,
which is representing.
You know, the season's starting again. I'm super excited. Mm-hmm. And we got a good topic for you today. Ashley, do you want to give us the intro of the topic today?
Yeah, so I thought we should talk about this word that gets thrown around a lot, and it's used to describe many different things. It's the word obsessed. And are you obsessed? Is it good to be obsessed, or is it bad to be obsessed? And do we need to be obsessed to accomplish anything great? So you hear this word a lot. Like I mentioned, you hear somebody say like, oh my God, your shirt, I love it. I'm so obsessed with this perfume. Or they can mean it in a negative way. Like, Adam, don't you have a life? Like, stop being so obsessed with work. So it could be used in a good way or in a bad way. But I feel like especially us athletes in the fitness industry, we hear it a lot more in a negative way, like, oh my gosh, you're so obsessed, like, get over it, like, find something else to do, don't you have a life?
Yeah, I think me and you were on the same page with the obsessed thing, and I think it's a cool topic that we dive into, because I always use it, I guess, that word, because you're always diving around like a professional Olympic diver at this point. Ashley, you know what we also got to talk about? Huh. This is a surprise to you. Actually, I just thought about it right now. Did you know that this is our 1 year anniversary episode?
Oh my gosh, no, I didn't know. Holy crap.
Episode 50.
Happy anniversary.
Happy anniversary.
You can send the desserts to the Contest Prep Center in Denver, Colorado. Look it up. Send all the presents and gifts for our anniversary. Thank you.
Yes, absolutely. It's our 52nd episode. Isn't that crazy? I know. And we're already going to get our full, podcast room within probably about 11 weeks here. And so we'll be a lot more professional then. Mm-hmm. And you know what, on the subject of that, we're going to have some cool interviews coming up.
Yes.
From some cool guests. And we'll keep those quiet until it's official, right? Because you never know what could happen. So, but yeah, we're going to start having more guests. And you guys let us know too what you want on the podcast. Because if you guys want something else, more interviews, this seems to go pretty good. We haven't had any in a while. Then we had Celeste on it. Everyone really liked that episode. It was a strong episode. So you guys let us know. Is there someone you want us to interview? We'll do it. With our limited skill set. But yeah, you know what? The obsessed thing, let's go back to the obsessed thing. There's this saying that says, obsessed is a word that the weak use to describe the dedicated, right? And I don't know if I necessarily agree with that. I just think it's all based on perception. So I think that we have to establish good balance, I think, between your life and your sport and your passion, right? But if your sport and your life is your passion, then I don't see the issue. You know what I mean? And if it makes you happiest when you're doing it, like me personally, it's probably more of a problem than anything, but I really can't think about anything other than this stuff. And I wish I could turn it off and like just not think about it. And it's a real problem that I have. But I like it. You know, at the same time, I feel really happy that it's that way. It's definitely like an issue for me with like relationships too, because I always like start off a relationship like saying like, which is, this is like a bad thing to say in poor Anya. I say, you know, this is like, it really is selfish, but it's just, I'm telling people how it is in the beginning. And I'm like, hey, look, like the most important thing in my life is, you know, the team elite and being the coach. And I wish that I could put something else above that, but it's just not possible with my mindset. It doesn't allow me to. It's not because I'm trying to be selfish. I literally can't think about anything else. It's all day, every day. It's my passion. It keeps me, it's what wakes me up. It's what keeps me up. you know, but in like getting to the next level of it is just this, I don't know why it's there. I don't know why it forces me and it keeps me there, but like, I can't control it. And but I love it, you know? And it's like, I wouldn't have it any other way. Like, and if I think about it and I see like people who are like, and this is, I go over the top with it, but I see people who are like, even able to just do normal things and relax a little bit and just like ignore fitness for a week. And I'm like, I can't do that. Like, I just can't, you know, even when I've been on one actual vacation, like one, it was like a 3-day thing. And then we're on a boat or a ship in the middle of the water. And as soon as we got internet up, I was like, oh, I can answer emails and do my stuff. Like, it gives me anxiety to not do it. So if it's, yeah, I work a lot, but I love it, you know? So I don't know. I guess like I'm kind of on that board, but right. With it.
I mean, you are a very happy person. I will say probably the happiest person I know and the hardest working person I know. Like, I've never seen you in a bad mood before. I know I've seen you like tired maybe and you get a little silent, but I've never seen you like just sad or just like over it or just like, you know what I mean? You never complain about your job. You never complain about your work. And it's super inspiring because like, you know, I feel like I'm in the same kind of realm as you, but like, obviously as an athlete, you know, sometimes you get that feeling like maybe I shouldn't be as dedicated as I am. Is it true? Am I obsessed? People are telling me I'm so obsessed that I need to get a life to enjoy life. But I don't see it that way. I see this as my life, but again, just like you, I wouldn't have it any other way. I think competing and this whole industry gives me excitement. You know what I mean? It gives me opportunities to travel. It gives me opportunities to meet people, to see new things. I will say, unlike you, though, I can definitely take a week off without having guilt. You know what I mean? I can relax. I'm able to relax. But I always come back for it no matter what. And I don't know, I'm just having like the time of my life and I'm truly enjoying myself and enjoying the entire process. I think my mindset right now is really good. I'm very focused, but I'm not like unhappy. So yeah. I'm going to read you the technical definition of obsessed.
And oh yeah. Kinda, okay.
Yeah, it kind of does describe you. Preoccupy or fill the mind of someone continually. Well, preoccupy or fill the mind of someone continually. Oh my God, I can't say that word. I give up. Continually, intrusively, and to a troubling extent.
Okay.
Maybe not so much troubling, but I know that you did mention that it kind of, you know, sometimes you wish you could shut it off and in certain aspects of your life, but at the same time, you know, hey, we're happy, right? And I would, like I mentioned before, you're literally the happiest person that I know. And I know that you wouldn't have it any other way. I know you're not lying about that. So
yeah,
we're both, you know, really grateful for the lives we do have. And I think we realize that. And make it like okay to be so involved and so dedicated because we realize we are kind of like, sounds really cheesy, like given a gift, right? And
yeah,
it's like you don't have to go to waste and you just want to ride the wave and just have fun with it because you never know how long it's going to last. Maybe you'll lose interest eventually, who knows? But at this point in time in our lives, hey, we got to go for it, right? Might as well. YOLO.
You know, YOLO for sure.
YOLO.
I think that's one thing that you're like, you're pretty, I think pretty out there about is that you never want to lose a day. You know, you never want to lose a day. You never want to not take advantage of the situation of any opportunity you could have. And you just waste days, you know, like we don't know how long we're going to have this thing. And so I'm happy where the, like, where this is, where it's going. And it's funny because actually I talked to one of my friends named Marcy the other day and I haven't talked to her in like 10 years. And she sent me, maybe more than that, she sent me a picture of me and her in high school. It was so funny. And we just started talking. And then she was like, I always knew that whatever you did, you were going to be successful at it. Because anything you did it to such an obsessed amount that no one even, you isolated everyone. Like you isolated yourself and never, she's like, so I always knew whatever it was you actually did, that you'd go that route. And I was, and she's like, and you've always been crazy about working out. So it just makes sense that you went that direction. Cause I haven't talked to her, you know, very much at all since like high school. And it was just cool to like catch up. And I was like, you know, she's right. It's always been like this bad habit of doing this. And if you look at like these super successful people, like the Kobe Bryants, the Michael Jordans, like that, you know, the all, even like the business people, the Elon Musks and whatnot too, they're really obsessed with what they do, but none of them ever complained. Like they were like, none of them were like, oh man, I had to practice so much to do it. They were like, no, I wanted to be the best. You never really hear about the complaint of it, you know, and I've listened to it. I probably, honestly, with those guys, like if there's something I haven't listened to, I'll find it, you know, cause I'm always, they're super motivating. And so I'm always like YouTubing them and listening to them and their words and whatnot. Anyone who's been at the peak of their sport, I try to listen to, you know, Wayne Gretzky and whatnot too. Like all these guys who've reached that level, because it takes something to be great. It takes something out of you, you know, it takes something out of you that you just can't really describe. And I think, you know, I'm working so hard to one day be like a great trainer. You know, I want to be great. I do. And it's like, and I, what do they say? They say like getting, like we were talking about contest prep. They're saying getting in shape, you know, health and fitness, that takes dedication, takes you leaving your comfort zone, but getting the contest prep shape takes you leaving your soul. Like it takes everything from you to get there, you know? And I think that people, there's going to be two different types of people, especially in like the contest prep world, because you're going to have your health and fitness people who are like, oh, I want to do this and I want to do a show. And I think that's great. I honestly think everyone should do a show, and I'll go into that. But there's two different types. There's like the transformation, I just want to step on stage, bucket list type. They like working out, but they're not like obsessed. It's just a goal. And I think that's great. And you should do that. And then you have your people who are like, I want to be the next Ashley, right? And that's actually a common thing I'll hear. I want to be the next Ashley. So those are two different, we got to understand that those are two different people. You're not, it's very unlikely, like it's never been done at least, that you could be at that next Ashley level while doing it in a health and fitness typical balanced way, quotations, balanced way. You know, it does take a lot to be at the pinnacle of anything. It takes your soul. It takes everything to get there, you know? And if you want examples, is look at all the people who have done it, you know, and look at what they've sacrificed to be there. You know, you look at, like, I mean, you can look at literally any single thing in the world, and the guy who's the best at it, the girl who's the best at it, they, like, they took everything from them. It's so rare. It's so, I've never seen it. I've never seen it personally. Someone who's just like, oh yeah, I just happen to be the best. Like it just, I do it on the weekends and I just happen to be the best. Like it's not a thing, you know? So I think that there is something to be said about you doing something you're actually passionate about. If you're trying to be the best, you know, you have to be, there's no, I've done this 20 years and I've never woken up and not wanted to go into work. I actually have this like stupid thing, like this prideful thing that I have set on. And I did it because I wanted to tell trainers too. And I talk about it because I want to tell my coaches that in my entire career, which I've trained, I have a 10,000 train sessions patch, which means I've trained over 10,000 sessions from 24-hour fitness. And I've only canceled in my entire life 3 sessions. And it's because I double booked on accident in all that time. I'm not a guy that cancels appointments, you know, 3. So, and I tell them like, if you cancel an appointment, like you understand, like you're giving that person a way out, you know, a way to cancel their appointments going forward. You know, and I always tell like clients when I used to train them, like, hey, if I ever no show you or cancel on you, then I'll give you a free session. And if you ever cancel on me or no show me, then you owe me 2 sessions. Like, and so that was always like the thing. And I never didn't show up. I had the flu, and that was the other session that I canceled on that day. I was a manager at that point. I only had like 1 session, but that was it. Yeah. So like, and it was because I loved it, you know, and I still do every single day. I wake up, I'm excited about it, just like you are, you know. And people right now, they're like, hey, why are you doing so many shows? And Yeah, know what I mean? But that just happened. Like, it just happened. But Ashley, why don't you, you know, the real reason why?
Well, number one, I do love to compete. As I mentioned, I love to compete. It is so fun to me. It adds excitement to my life. It's short-term goals, you know, that really keep me in check. I am not the best at staying like stage lean all year round, right? But if I have a show, like in 2 weeks, you know, I'm gonna stay on my plan. I want to be good to go. Okay. So it definitely keeps me in check for shows later on in the year. So if I, you know, even if I compete once every few months, that's like going to keep me on track pretty well. But I am not too proud to say that I always make mistakes just like everyone else. And I always learn from them when I compete. Every show, I learn something new. I will pick up something, even if it's something small, like, oh, I should have had my hair on my left side instead of my right, or oh, I should have posed with my legs a little closer together, something like that. And you might go like, nah, it's not a big difference, but these little things, they definitely add up. And if you want to be successful, you need to take these little tweaks into consideration and, you know, come together at the end of the year for Olympia with the finished product, okay? And every single show, Adam and I discuss what I can do better for the next show. We get feedback from the judges, we take a look at all the pictures, and we just elaborate on how we can make this package just a little bit better. Okay, it might be something small, might be something big. But either way, learning something new every single show, constantly learning.
Yeah, and I think that's what people don't understand, because the precedence has kind of been set where like the top names will only do like the Olympia and the Arnold now. But you know, we talked about it before, but the culture used to be people did shows all year long, even bodybuilders, you know, even bodybuilders are doing all shows all year long. So, but the main thing is, it's safe to say that Ashley is obsessed with this stuff. There's nothing, that's not insulting in any capacity. We take it as a compliment. I agree. I do. And she wants to compete, period. You know, she wants to compete. She's learning when she competes. She's learning each show to put a better package together. And I think for a lot of you bikini competitors, there's two different types of kind of bikini competitor. There's the bikini competitor who I say you shouldn't do a lot of shows in a year, because maybe you're an ectomorph and you just lose muscle every time you prep. And every time you prep, you're just losing muscle, and it's hard for you to keep muscle. We can't keep you in a dieted state all year long. So for those people, yeah, I'll say, you know what, maybe you should only do like a cluster of shows. Do like 3 months, 2 months worth of shows, and then the rest of the year, you know, increase your calories and try to keep your size, because you're going to be losing muscle going into shows. But Ashley's not that type of person. If anything, we have to control her muscle at this point. So it makes a lot of sense for her. Now, also, one, it's fun and I'm having a good time with it. And then, you know, I'm always down to go, like, actually, like, just throw shows at me, like, all right, I can go, let's go. I'm going to Vegas for 9 days or something, 10 days, Vegas to Tahoe, whatever.
Yeah, you're going to get sick of me.
Yeah, I know I won't get sick of you, because one time we spent, was it like 33 days consecutively together?
Oh yeah, I think I remember. Yeah. Yeah.
I was like, okay, I don't think I'll get sick of her at this point. Which is funny, because I get sick of like everyone at that point, but not you. yeah, because we went from Denver to Vegas, Vegas to LA, LA to Japan, Japan to LA. And it was
Korea.
Like
South Korea, but yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. It was long. But with Ashley being like in her obsessed, you know, state, you got to understand a lot of good comes from that. It's just like every other sport. Kobe Bryant practiced a crazy amount every day. You know, all these guys are trying to improve their skill set, practice a crazy amount of time. And for a bikini competitor like Ashley, who doesn't need to worry about losing lean mass and making improvements from show to show, you guys got to understand too, one of the main things with bikini is your overall presentation. So it is such a big, it's a huge factor, huge factor. People underestimate it by so much. Your stage presence, hair, makeup, complexion, just your overall flow on stage, how you're interacting with competitors on stage, how you're changing positions from on the line, how you're walking, all these things under stress and under it where you're on the show and under the lights where the adrenaline's rushing, you are not going to master that even if you're the best in the world doing it once a year. It's really hard to do. You know, I understand why bodybuilders do it because they're trying to peak one time a year, but I honestly still think that getting some reps in for those guys is going to make a difference with keeping their gut in tight and not breathing so hard when they're posing and being more comfortable on the stage when the adrenaline's actually rushing. But when we look at like recent shows that have happened and the girls who are winning these shows, some of them have conditioning that's been kind of all over the place. Even recently we've had a girl win a show whose conditioning was a little bit softer than it normally is. And everyone's like, her conditioning was off. It was like, she was like, her conditioning was way off. And I'm like, that's one factor. That's one parameter. You got to understand all the other parameters she killed everyone on. So yes, she wins. That's how that goes. That's bikini. If you don't like it, choose a different sport because your stage presence, your presentation, all that stuff matters. So yes, being obsessed with that, posing every day after you're doing, when you're in prep, posing every day, doing a bunch of shows and learning from each show, you know, playing with different hair options, different makeup options, practicing that before you go on stage, getting your complexion right, you know, getting everything under control to make sure your complexion looks good. Sorry, that's a factor. That's in play. You know, your skin tone, even practicing your tan, what tan company looks best on you, that type of thing. What suit company fits you best? The little things that me and Ashley are going over from show to show, like her foot positions and all these, we're talking inches here at this point. Should her feet be, literally we saw two shows and then we were like, and then Ashley was like, yeah, I think you're right. Your foot could be a little closer, but maybe in between these two shows, you know? And then we did one show and then we were like, okay, you didn't push hard enough. And one show we're like, okay, maybe you pushed a little too hard. So in between those, let's get that dialed in on stage. And once she starts prepping that and repping it out and repping it out, then the Olympia comes around and it's just another day. It's just another weekend. You know, there's, you know, the nerves are less, she's comfortable. We've gone over it. We're going to try our best to not make any mistakes. It's inevitable. Something will happen, but it'll be very minor versus seven things. It might be one thing versus seven, you know? And so I love that you're obsessed because your off season is good, which means your in season is good. You know, it's predictable. Mm-hmm. You got to lose, you know, 8 pounds to get ready for a show. That's great. So I'm really happy that you're obsessed, and I love that you're obsessed because it makes me better at my job too, you know, because mm-hmm. you're so obsessed that you look for little things and it opens up my eyes too. Cause once you find something, I'm like, oh, I didn't even see that. Like the other day, the new back pose, you caught that. I didn't catch that, you know, cause it was from my view, I can't even see it. So do you want to talk about that? Yeah, it's kind of cool.
I just saw a girl doing a different pose in one of the shows. I'm definitely not naming names or anything like that. I just thought it was intriguing. But it's just interesting to see. And that's like, again, one of those things you'll never catch on to unless you're actually in the action. There is no better practice than actual stage practice. It is not the same as posing in front of a mirror at your gym. It is not the same as posing in front of your camera. It's totally different, and the angles will be different, and even the way you carry yourself will be different. You always hear that people get nervous before they go on stage, right? I bet you they're not getting nervous in front of their mirror when they're doing it at the gym or at home, but that's something to consider, because these things, like, you can learn all these techniques for posing, but if you get nervous, you might just forget them, you know? So. Yeah. I mean, I still get nervous to this day, but I try to turn that nervous energy into like a positive energy, right? It's okay to be nervous. Being nervous means you care, because if you didn't care, you'd be like, whatever, let me just get this over with, you know? But if you're nervous, it means, you know what? This means something to me. So it's okay to be a little bit nervous. Just kind of accumulate that nervousness and say, hey, you know what? I'm nervous, tired, hungry, whatever. I'm going to shine for 5 minutes on stage and I'm going to give them everything I got. And I'm going to have so much positive energy radiating from me that they can't turn away. They're going to look at me. You know what I mean? Because that's the name of the game. There are so many amazing physiques on stage that day. And you really need to stand out in a good way. Okay. You need to be the one that all the judges look at and they're like, oh yeah, she's got it, you know? So you got to have that positive, fun, I want to be here energy, you know?
Yeah. And I think, it's kind of cool that the, you know, today's conversation has kind of gone in that direction of everything, because I think it takes the obsessed person to do that, but to do it and enjoy it. You know, you're never going to get the performance you want out of someone if they're forcing it. You know, if you're really forcing it and you hate prep and you're just kind of going through the motions, I wish there was a way to like quantify a success rate of the people who are like loving every minute of it or like hating it. But that's something, you know, what's that's something that I really, you know what, I want to name a name, Laura Lee. She actually gave me that quote, and it was a really cool thing she said. She was like talking to like a posing class we had here. And she said, you know what, you got to enjoy enjoy the suck, enjoy every chicken breast, enjoy every meal, enjoy every rice meal you have. Like, you got to get in the mindset of just loving it. And then once you do and you get in that mindset, it's just like, you just love it, period. Then there's not really anything to make this not fun for you, you know, and you'll get very far when you like doing it. And I think that that's a good thing that you really do too, is you don't miss anything. You don't miss, you know what I mean? Like, you're not like complaining about cheat meals. You're not saying, oh, you know, I'm flat right now, I need to refill, and like coming up with reasons why you need extra meals. And like, I think that it's really cool to see someone at your level at this many shows that you've done still have that obsession and that desire, you know, that drives you, because it dies in a lot of people. And I think that the only real way to get there is to be obsessed. Like, I know Issa, you know, decently, and her coach pretty decently. And you know, it'd be hard to not say she's not obsessed too. Like, she really puts everything into it. And she's going to be hard to beat, because she's not allowing any space in between, you know? And I think that you two specifically share that trait, you know? And one thing, you know, we haven't talked about, Ashley, is since the podcast, this, because we recorded prior to last week's release, but you are at win number 21.
Yeah, 21. Woo, 20. What the heck? How did I get here? What the heck?
Dude, how does that feel?
I don't know. I honestly feel like, how did that happen? You know, when I started competing, I never thought like I would be where I am right now. And you know, I'm the type that sets small, realistic, attainable goals in sight. So I don't really think of the super long-term amount of shows I'm going to win. But I did know when I turned pro, my goal at that time was, I want to win one pro show and I will be the happiest girl ever if I win one pro show, because then I can go to Olympia. Oh, what a dream it would be to win one pro show. And I won 21 pro shows. Like, you don't understand. Like, I was to that mindset, like, if I never competed again after this one pro win and my one appearance at the Olympia, I'll still be happy. I can't complain. So to be way beyond that and to succeed my goal that drastically just feels like I'm Cinderella, or I'm living in a dream or something. Like, I realize how grateful I am to be in this position. And I know that this sport has given me so much. And not only just with my career, but meeting people and meeting you and having this podcast and having like a platform to kind of spread inspiration on. I'm like, wow, This is great. So you can see why I'm so obsessed with what I do, is because it just makes me happy. And it just, you know, no matter what, got to enjoy the journey. Like Laura Lee said, you know, enjoy every aspect of the journey. From beginning of prep to the time you step off stage, don't place all your eggs in the win basket. Don't even think of like a number placing as a goal. I would suggest that, you know, especially if you're new, don't say, my goal, this is my first show. My goal is to win, and anything else would be disappointing. Cause then if you don't win, you're going to be a little salty. So it's okay to say like, okay, I want to win a show one day, but to specifically place, I'm going to win first the show. That's my goal. Is kind of hit or miss, because if you don't win, you're going to get a little disappointed and it becomes like, well, you know, I expected that. That was my goal.
Yeah.
But to like, you know, win, actually win without having that expectation already in your mind is like, whoa, yeah. Exceeding your expectations, exceeding your goal is way more satisfying and fulfilling than like expecting to hit a goal and you hit the goal, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with you on that. And I think it's so cool and I'm so proud of you. And I think that you're just an amazing person, Ashley. I don't tell you that enough. Okay. Yeah. And I know that we're always super like modest in how we approach you, but I want you to know that quantifiably that you're the best that has ever walked the planet in this sport in bikini. And I hope that one day you believe in yourself as much as I believe in you. You're amazing at what you do. And it'd be an honor just to watch, but to be part of it is pretty spectacular. It's the light of my life. I'll tell you that.
Blush. We're living the dream, aren't we, Adam?
It's crazy, man. It's crazy. I can't even tell you. You know what's cool is we just do it on different kind of, we do one kind of platform together, and then you do one as an athlete, and then I do one as a coach, right? So it's like one together and two, one separate each. And I get a lot of things from other coaches or trainers who are trying to get into the industry. You know, I had one last night, actually. It was really cool. And he's like, yeah. And if he's out there, I'm not going to say his last name. His name's Daniel. And he always listens to our podcast. He always sends us messages. He's
hi, cool. Daniel.
He's a cool dude. I like him. I wish him nothing but luck. He's going to come out to CPC in Vegas eventually. But he was like, yeah, man, I'm stocking groceries, whatever, at the grocery store. I want to take my test to be a trainer. I think that it's something that that I want to do. And I was like, he's like, I listened to you and I watched all your stuff, videos, whatever. He's like, and I just want to get in it, because that's something I actually want to do, you know? And I think that it's cool that he recognizes that. And it's not, so for any of you too, who are maybe thinking about that and taking that leap, you know, I encourage it. I don't care that you're my competition. It's great. You know, take some of the market. I don't need it all, you know, like take as much as you can. It's going to make
that means you get more happy. Time with me.
Exactly. Well, that's actually the stage of where I'm at. Right. We already talked about like doing that already, you know, but it's, once you can do something that's your actual passion, whether you're obsessed or it's just something that, you know, that you're really passionate about, maybe that a passion will turn into obsession. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. I'm not a psychologist, but for me, I can tell you it's brought me, you know, what's funny is like, I just wanted to, when I was younger, I just wanted to make enough where I could take care of my mom, you know? And like, that was all it was. I just wanted to give her a good life, because at that time we weren't doing so well. Then she got married and he does great. So like, I didn't need to, but it was like, that was like part of my driving force. And it was like, I loved fitness and that just happened to work out that way. But I would have never expected any of this, you know, I never expected it, you know? And I think in a future episode, I'm going to talk about some future plans I'm going to have for Vegas and whatnot. But one thing I will tell you is that, I never want this to turn into work. I never want it to turn into work. And if the second it turns into work and the second I stop liking it or enjoying it as much as I do, I'm going to slow it way down, because I don't ever want to call this a job, you know? And so In the near future, I'm going to probably be releasing some info, but one of the things I've already talked about that I'm not going to take on any new pros. I want to give my time, a lot of my time really, to be out there in Vegas a lot with you and really kind of, if there's any chance to get that Olympia title again, I want to be able to say, hey, we gave everything to it. Mm-hmm. Whether you get first or 25th, we gave everything to it every year for the next few years. And we rode that wave, man. We gave it everything we got. That's what, if we can walk away with that, yeah. I'm happy, you know? I'm super happy. Yeah,
exactly. You never want to grow old and be like, what if I would have tried just a little harder or did this or did that? I mean, I'm a big advocate for that way of thinking. The worst feeling ever is a woulda, coulda, shoulda. Like, what if I would have tried harder? I could have been better. Yeah. Maybe I should have done that. I should have done that. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's like you never want to live with regret or just knowing that you could have done something to be just a little bit better. So I always keep that in the back of my mind, especially with like choosing shows and stuff. It's like, you know, I'm choosing shows this year. I'm going to do at least 5, maybe 6. Okay. Maybe more. I don't know. But it's like, you know what? I'm thinking, yeah, I'm already qualified for Olympia, but gosh, I'm having fun. Like, I'm having so much fun right now. It's very exciting to me. And I got this new suit going on, and it's like I'm a new person. So it's kind of like, ooh, might as well, you know, might as well go for it. Because who knows when these opportunities are going to come around again. Will my schedule look the same as next year? I don't know. Will the shows be as plentiful next year? Who knows? We don't know. So you got to take advantage of the time you have now. And just like, you know, whatever happens, happens. You know, you tried your hardest. And you won't have any regrets because you gave it all.
Yeah, I think that there's three things in there. One, can we just talk about how you haven't lost a point this year? You've won with 2 perfect scores this year so far.
Yeah, what the heck? I didn't even know that until like last week because I didn't see the initial clash score sheet. Yeah, I was like, oh.
Perfect score, yeah. Cool. Yeah, it's going pretty good, I'd say. And that's what I would say the first show of this year, like I liked your look, I liked your conditioning, but I think that we corrected a lot better in the second one. I think that you were way better the second one. And especially with like how you posed, how everything went, like to win with a perfect score with where I would say you were like, your conditioning was good. It's just that I think that it was better when it was more, a little bit more controlled on the abs. And to win with a perfect score when you were there and then your posing was just a little off. And I think you stumbled a little bit on that first one too, right? I think that like to win with perfect score with that and then come to the next one and still be learning, it's scary. You know what? It's never really, I don't think it's clicked at this point where we're learning and progressing so fast yet. Like it's scary every show. Every show we get done and we're like, okay, this could be better. This could be better. Like we're seeing, our vision is really good right now.
Yeah, we got some good eyes.
Dude, the vision is on point right now. I'm actually, it's when you get in the zone like that, and that's one of the things that like people don't understand. So like I compare it to really good writers. So there's like really good authors and writers, and they go through, what does it call when they, writer's block? Is that what they call it? Writer's block, where they can't write for a while. They just can't come up with ideas and stuff. I think it's called writer's block. Mm-hmm. Correct me if I'm wrong. Yeah. But the trainers go through that too, where I call it like vision block, where you're just not in the zone and you're not seeing things right. You know, you're not keeping up with the times. You're not staying with the trend of bikini. You're not watching every pro show. And you're just not nailing the conditioning of your athletes. Like there's just something off. Maybe you're working too much. Maybe you're prepping yourself. Maybe you're, you know, and that's one of the things I noticed that when I like diet really, really hard, my vision starts going, right? Not my actual vision, but my vision for athletes. So, you know, it's like you have to be fresh. You have to be keeping up to date. You have to have strong vision. And when your vision is like strong, and right now I would say ours is both pretty strong. And I never say that. But we're seeing things, man. We're seeing things really clear right now. And it's scary. I'm like, man, it's pretty scary right now. Everything's going right. So hopefully.
You know, I like it. And I love that we can pick apart any flaws that I have, because I think that's what separates us from a lot of other trainers/athletes is maybe they're a little stubborn and they don't want to accept that something could have been better. So they will give excuses, strange excuses, as why they didn't win. You know what I mean? Yeah. And in reality, it could be something more than just your hair color or something like that. It could be more complex. And you need to get opinions from the people that know what they're talking about, like a judge, a judge's feedback. Don't go off of what your friends are telling you and your family is telling you, you should have won. You look the best. You should have won. And all these voices kind of get in your head, right? And then you start believing it yourself, like, I should have won. I want to look the same as next time because I just should have won. I don't know. Something's weird. I don't know. You know? So they're too stubborn to take a really in-depth look of their physique and change what they need to change to be a little bit better. Okay. And I know that coaches can sometimes do this too, because it's a little bit of their pride on the line as well, because they're the ones that told them to look like this, or they trained them to look this way. And they'll be like, I don't know what the judge is thinking. You should have won. You know, sometimes they'll even do that. Or even worse, an athlete coming into the show, they'll say, you got this. You're going to win. You got this. You look the best. And that is such a toxic mindset to have, because who knows which way it'll go. You can't control the other people on stage. The only person you can control is yourself. So you can't control if the other girls are leaner than you for the show. You cannot control if the lighting is a little bit off, so you look softer, or you're on the end. You can only control yourself. So to kind of have those expectations, especially coming from a coach, so certain you're going to win the show, is so toxic, because it can go the opposite way. And then they both have the mindset of like being salty because they didn't win. And here come the excuses.
Yeah. It's a tough sport, you know, because so many factors are in it. And keep it all, like, it's funny because I'm always saying it, you know, like, there's so many things. Like, it must, your musculature, your balance, and your conditioning are all people think about. That's it. And I'm like, you guys, you're missing like more than half of them. You know, just your suit color, your suit color, your hair, your makeup, your tan, your complexion, your presentation, your stage knowledge, when you're on the right, on the left, how you're showing your judges. Are you smiling? Like, are you, you know, how's your walk? Are you keeping your back arched when you're walking? Are your glutes shaking like crazy when you're walking? Or is your front walk, you know, are you standing too far behind the line? It's like, there's just, it's so many things. Like, it's crazy, like how many things it is. And people are like, oh, I was leaner than her. And I was like, that's one. There's like 15. You know, so bikini is a total package thing. And that's why when you see the like the best in the world doing it, they're all a little different, but they all have put in the reps. You know, a lot of them have done a lot of shows. You look at like Issa did a lot of shows when the year she won, right? I want to say it was like 8 or something crazy.
Yeah,
like that.
Something like that. She was always competing.
Always,
so impressed. I was just like, oh my gosh, we're in Japan this week, and next week she has a show in another country. Oh my gosh. I used to do that too, though. I've done that. I used to go to country to country for shows, like week to week. But, you know, obviously the countries are limited right now, USA. But I mean, I bet you she did those shows and learned from every single one. And I can almost assure you that she was not too stubborn to take criticism from a judge that says you could look better if you just did this or this. So she learned from every single show. And now look at her. She's amazing. Flawless. Yeah. Like, she's so put together. But it takes trial and error. And it takes being willing to accept criticism from the people that know what they're talking about. Not your friends, not your family, not some random people on the internet. You know?
Yeah. For sure. You're always going to be number one to your friends. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah. And your family, no matter, you could look 50 pounds overweight and your family will say, you should have won. You look the best.
Yeah. You should have won. And that's just how it goes. You know, it's, and with what's funny too, is like, some people take it really well and some people just don't, you know, and it's like some people, and those people are coachable. some people aren't coachable. You just can't coach them. Like even the, I guess probably the hardest situation I have is probably with coaching like Anya, right? Cause she's like the girlfriend and the client and the really, and the employee too, right? She's like it's just everything. But you know what, when she did the Mile High as an amateur, her glutes were probably the best there. And then when she did this last show, I was like, hey, look, if you place top six, we're going to keep doing shows. If you don't, we're going to fix the problems. We're going to talk to the judges and figure everything out. She had a lot of issues that weren't really something like things that were uncontrollable that happened that day. Her makeup situation, her makeup artist was supposed to do her hair, didn't do her hair. So she like had to do it last minute. Hair was too long, was like covering like the top of her glutes, her tan turned green a little bit. But I was like, hey, look, those things, you for the most part, you fixed them. It was acceptable. It wasn't great, but it was acceptable. But your glutes weren't where they were, you know? And then, so we said, okay, we got to get your glutes better. That's what we're going to focus on for at least 4 months, 5 months, and start competing like after the Olympia. What happened was she was not able to really activate them as well. So she's actually seeing a physical therapist now to loosen her up. And now she's getting better glute activation. We're going to start hooking her up on the Newbie New Fit so she can actually get better activation out of it. And that's, and when we started doing like the Steiku scans and whatnot, we realized her glutes were like almost an inch smaller. And so she was working on, but they weren't activating the way that they should have been. So, you know, David, the PT guy that works on you sometimes. So he's working on her. And he's like, man, her range of motion is off. Like everything was way off. That's why she was less in her glutes. And I was like, ah, that makes a lot of sense. But you know, she was grinding through prep. She didn't really think about it that much. So that's the good thing is though, she's like, hey, here's the problem. I'm not going to compete even though I want to compete right now. I'm going to make the improvements. I'm going to get back out and then I'll compete 4 or 5 times when I'm 100%. And so
I like that attitude. Yeah. She's going for it, but she's being so smart. And I think it's so important to like you're doing, take a look with a fine tooth comb. What can we fix? Does this need time for fixing? So like in my situation, we've got things to fix, of course, but maybe not necessarily doesn't take like a whole lot of time to fix. A lot of it's with posing and stuff like that. And yeah, some areas of my body, but it's not like I have to take months off to improve that. But it is so important to listen to your body as well, I think. You know, I say I'm obsessed and I love competing and I want to do this forever and ever. But, you know, maybe there will be a time after like the last show or something and I'm just like, oh, I need a little break. Oh, I'm sick of eating chicken and vegetables. And that's happened before. And I, you know, take a little mini break, relax, eat some steak or something that's not chicken. And then, you know what? All right, let's do it. Let's go. So I kind of listen to my body. Like, am I feeling fatigued? Am I working so hard in the gym but not seeing results? You know, am I able to finish my workouts with full strength? Am I losing my strength? So I'm always super hyper aware of how I feel, how my body is looking, and where my mind is at, because your mind can fatigue before your body does. And that's sure, something that's a little tricky, because it's like you can't force motivation. A lot of times you can't just be like, I'm going to give it everything and I'm going to be so happy and excited to do it. You can't necessarily always turn it on and off like that. So you gotta like realize, are you mentally tired? Are you just over it? Do you just need to like go on vacation with your boyfriend or something? Go to the spa, you know, listen to your body and evaluate your mindset, because I think, you know, you can be obsessed, but if you're not like being careful about it, that's when I think the obsession can turn bad. Yeah. And then you can cause a lot of problems. So maybe we'll kind of dive in to when being obsessed becomes a negative thing.
I think that that's a good point too. And then also what's funny is it's so funny because you always, you eat more chicken than anyone I know. You don't mix it up at all. she doesn't like fish. She doesn't like eggs. Rarely eats steak. And she's like, I just like
turkey either.
She just likes chicken. It's so funny. She has all the options of all the lean meats, any lean meat she wants. But just chicken. Different.
Well, place. If you check out our diet hacks video, I always make my chicken different. I just crock-potted some chicken last night.
Yeah, you always mix it. It's so funny, but you eat more. You've been the longest consistent chicken eater I've ever seen.
Wow. Dang. Like,
How many pounds?
A lot of vegetables. You should see how many vegetables I eat. Holy crap, I eat a lot of veggies. I'm like, I wonder if I just put all the vegetables I eat in a week in a wheelbarrow, like, and look at it. I'd be so impressed.
I think, so going into your thing of like when obsession becomes a problem. So I think that it can get easily out of control. And I've done it, you know, it's funny is I'll go through, and I don't know why I do this, but I'll like keep track of it. It's like this stupid, like prideful thing I do where I'm like, I've worked X amount of days in a row. Like it's like a month for me, working a month in a row is very common. Like that's, I think right now I'm doing it actually, where it's like every single day for over a month. And I think the only time I almost got burnt out or I was like feeling it, I did 87 days of work in a row. I kept track of it. I was like 87 days in a row. So a third of the year without a day off. And we're talking, you know, 10 hour days at least, travel and probably at least probably six times in that time frame or something like that. And it does get a little hard. And that was like the only time. And then I kind of restructured things to make sure that I didn't do that again, like that many times. And that's another reason for Vegas too, is that it's so much easier for people to travel to me in Vegas, for me to travel to them. And it's such a reasonable thing to say, hey, come to Vegas. Like the gym's 12 minutes from the airport, you know, you could stay at my house, which is going to be, if I get that one I'm looking at, is like 7 minutes from the airport, you know, it's crazy. So it's like, it makes things easier to try to make arrangements to not get burnt out, you know? And so one of the things I do every year too, is that during the Olympia, and I've done this for like seven, eight years or something. During the week of the Olympia, I won't do any client check-ins that week, for the whole week prior. So anyone who's doing the Olympia amateur or the Olympia, like they get all the time. And then it gives me where I'm not stressed out. I get to relax a little bit, and I'll do that 1 week a year just to do it. And then 1 week a year for the Olympia. And those are the two kind of weeks that I won't do check-ins, and that keeps me sane. Cause if I were to do the Olympia with my check-ins and managing everything for a week and prep for Olympia, like that would be brutal. So I think making those, like recognizing that, and then like taking the time to like make those adjustments for yourself, that makes a lot of sense. So what have you done for that exact scenario? Like you getting so overworked or obsessed where your motivation is down, like what do you recommend?
Well, I just have to recognize it before I commit. So that's why I don't want to commit to shows like past October, right? Because it's like, yeah, I'm feeling motivated now. I'm feeling excited. I have so much energy, so much strength. And I feel amazing now. But am I going to feel that same way in 3 months? I don't know. I got to make sure that I'm smart about planning shows, that I don't plan them too far in advance. The only show, like, you know, you got to really like give it all to is the Olympia. I mean, you got to give it all to the other shows, but I'm saying you got to be super careful that you don't burn yourself out before the Olympia. Sorry, that's what I meant to say.
Yeah.
So you kind of have to plan your shows like with the consideration of like, maybe I shouldn't plan anything too close to Olympia, because if I get burnt out before the Olympia, then Olympia prep is going to be miserable and I'm just going to not enjoy it. And I want to enjoy it, right? So I just kind of have to keep myself in check and not get too excited too soon to start booking all these shows. Cause like, you know, once you sign the contract, you're expected to do that show unless something, you know, medical happens or whatever. So right now I have my contract signed for Tahoe. I have my contract signed for Battle in the Desert. And of course I'm going to do Olympia. Once I get that contract, I'll sign it to you. As far as the Chicago Pro, pretty sure I'm going to do that, but I'm going to be smart. I'm not going to sign that contract yet. I'm going to wait maybe another few weeks or a month just to see like that I'm not burnt out and that I'm still like, you know, enjoying it and still physically strong and mentally my mindset is in a good place. Oh, I got to take one of those cool like signing pictures in the house. Like,
yeah, they're super cool people, though, the Ilgundis, you know, they're just so important. They're just, I don't even understand how they're so on it. they have so much going on, and they, every detail, just, it's crazy how organized they are. I don't know who's doing this organization over there, but it's
crazy.
It's crazy, man. They're so on it. Like, you can't be off of it. Like, if you like are with, like, let's say you're doing a show with them, or you're a coach and you're bringing athletes with them, like, it's impossible to be off because they remind you about everything. It's so organized. The muscle contest, it's awesome. Mm-hmm. Awesome.
They are awesome.
I think, yeah, it's so crazy how the level that they're doing it. I was so not used to, like, that organization level where, like, why do I need that text, right? They're just because they want to be informed. They just want to throw it out there.
Cool. You know what I like about them, and a lot of other promoters are the same way. You can really tell they love what they do, and they're so into it, and they're excited. You can hear it by the way they talk. Like, it's kind of like us. Hey, we love what we do, so we're very passionate about it when we're speaking, and kind of get you excited. So, like, I love it. I love seeing people who truly enjoy what they do. I love it.
Yeah, obsessed, right? Perfect timing for it, right? I will say with 100% certainty that Tamer and Tarek are obsessed with this, because I've never been, like, I'm not like this huge, like, muscle contest pusher or anything like that. You know, everyone is good at what they do. Patrick's great at what he does in Vegas as well. He's pretty obsessed with it, I would say, as well. He's a judge. He's been doing it for, like, since he was, like, a fetus. He's like, he's done it forever, you know, was a bodybuilder at one point. And so was Tarek too, a Tamer. When I realized those guys were obsessed was when we went to that show in Vegas, and then the show got canceled from one venue, moved to another venue. They got approval from the city to have the show there at the nicer venue. And then the city rescinded the letter of approval. And then they left. They went down to City Hall, were banging on the doors to try to get in. It was closed. They're like banging on the doors. Let us in. You guys rescinded our letter, right? They left from there at 5 o'clock. They went driving around town to multiple venues, like not even venues, like to follow the ordinance, they had to have 30 or less people. So they went to all these like places, and they're like restaurants and things like that. And they're like, can we have our show here? You could charge us. We don't care. Like, have our show. They found a place at 11 p.m. at night. So that means they're disheartened, beat up, let down, out of money twice because of two venues.
Probably tired.
Tired, panicky, not sure what to do. Had 100 competitors at a hotel with no information of where to go. They didn't tell anyone yet because they didn't want to freak everyone out. And then they still kept going. Then they found a venue who, and hopefully don't get mad at me for telling them, overcharged them by significant amount, like, of how much it was for them to have it last minute at that venue. Really kind of, you know, overcharged them. I feel bad for them for that. Went into it losing money, knowing there was no chance they'd make a profit, and actually lost probably close to over 20 grand doing the show. And were so happy about it that I couldn't even tell you how happy they were to have it. They were like, I mean, Tamer, he was like, you know what? I've never been so happy to lose 25 grand of my life. He's like, this will go down as like one of my happiest memories because the obstacle was there. Everything was against us, but the athlete got to step on stage and they got their hard work's worth. It was as best as we could make it work, but they got to get up on stage, and they were so happy. And like, he got tears in his eyes telling me the story.
Aww.
And I was like, this guy is going to get my team. This guy is going to get my team to his shows because he's never going to fail me. You know, he's always going to put on a good show for me. He's always going to take care of me. And him and Tarek, they're just so passionate. And it only happens if you're obsessed. They have the biggest competitor. I guess, what do you call it? Organization, the muscle contest. Promotion. They're the biggest promotion in the world. They're now doing the Olympia promotion, right? You only get there if you're obsessed. You only get there if the passion drives you to a point where you can't control it, you know? And I love that they've taken this. They've taken every idea. They've ran with it. They've put money into it. They've lost, I'm sure, a significant amount multiple times trying to make ideas work, just as I have too. And they don't let any ideas go to rest. And just like you take advantage of every day, they just do it in a different capacity. You know, one of the quotes I've heard once is, If you want to find the most ideas, the most inventions, the most amount of money that hasn't turned up yet, is go to a graveyard, because so many ideas die with people that have never come to fruition because they were too scared of what would happen if they tried, right? They didn't want to get past their comfort zone. And the doers in the world, the people who accomplish great things that look so other, that look so impossible to get to, the Ashley Cutwalsers with 21 wins, you know, the Michael Jordans, the Kobe Bryants, the Elon Musks, you know, the muscle contests, you know, the guys who get there that look so other, there is nothing different between them and you besides effort and passion. And I think that it's so important. You know, people will say, I wish, to me, they say sometimes, I wish I could be like Ashley. And I'm like, she's a person. She's a regular person. She's not a god. She's a person. And she just tries harder than you do right now. And she's done it for so long that she's gotten there. And all you need to do is do that every single day. And being that super uber successful person is just a compilation of many efforted days in a row added together without giving the excuses of a break, you know? And that's the only way I've gotten this place to be where it's at 20 years in. I haven't taken my foot off the gas, never will. So with that, is that it? Because that's a good note to leave off
of. That is a good note. I just want to add one last thing to that. So as I mentioned before, sometimes people will say obsessed in a negative way, maybe to kind of bring you down, maybe to get you to go out and have some drinks with them, right? You know, like, oh, too obsessed with this. Come on, live a little, you know? But everyone's perspective on what makes them happy is different. And for me, I don't find, you know, going out on the weekend for a few hours more satisfying than like competing at a show and looking better than I ever have and reaching this goal, this big goal. And, you know, even when I get to travel across the world, that's way better than going out on the weekend to have pizza and a few shots with you. I'm sorry. So don't come at me with that you're obsessed kind of bull crap. And I will say this as well. You know, I think like some people are just built different mentally. And I will give you my short story of how I was in high school. Maybe much like you, Adam, I'm not sure. But I'm pretty sure people that would see me today, and I do get those messages like, oh, I saw this coming kind of thing, kind of predicted something like this. So in high school, I was not a cool kid at all. I was not popular. Going out to parties didn't make me happy. Going out to school dances didn't make me happy. I was not social. I alone in the lunchroom, but I didn't care. You know what I cared about? The track meets every weekend. Yes. And like winning and stuff would be the icing on the cake. But I was the happiest every weekend at a track meet. And I would look forward to that every single week. And track season, don't even get me started. Oh, that was like the happiest time of year for me. And I, you know, practiced track during our track practices, and I would go to the gym after that. And a lot of people at the time, I'm sure, were like, oh God, she's obsessed. Like, doesn't she have a life? Like, she eats alone, like, just runs track. Like, that sucks. Sucks to be you. Not so much. I love being me. I love me. I love my life. I wouldn't change it any other way. I never let anybody's idea of what a good life is get in the way of what makes me happy. And a lot of the people that would criticize in high school, like, you know, like, does she have a life? That's lame. You know, take a look at their life now. And I would say, not to sound cocky, but I feel like I'm doing a lot better in life. Yes. And I've made really good decisions so far. And the decisions I made were things that make me happy. And call me obsessed if you want, but the obsession is what makes me happy. And yeah, just don't let anybody kind of tear down your determination, your hard work, and just minimize it with you're obsessed, stop it, blah, blah, blah. Okay, because a lot of times those people don't have the same mindsets as you and I that can get it, you know? Just like if I saw a painter that painted 4 hours a day, I would get it. Like, that's their passion. That's what they love to do. I can see how you could do that. And I applaud you. I wouldn't say they're obsessed and kind of tear down their hard work and determination for that and say, oh, that sucks. Oh, what a life is that? You know? So, I don't know, just something to think about.
I think you got a great point there. And I think that the other thing to say with that is that if you are, let's say you are that other person and you're not like enjoying your life and your daily activities and you do have a passion, like Ashley is, you know, an athlete and I'm just a coach, you know, just a trainer really, but our lives are really good because we've followed that passion. Like I'm in the same boat. I wouldn't change this for the world. I mean, I work a ton, but I love every minute of it. We've got 11 coaches here. Like, you know, it's awesome what we do, you know, and it's so cool. If you're, you know, if you're hating your work, but you love fitness and your happiest time of the day is, you know, you working out right when you're finally done. And this is something you've hated your job or whatever forever. Like, it's okay to like, don't let other people's idea of what you should conform to in life and how much money you should make in life be the determining factor. You know, I always say, if I wanted to be rich, I wouldn't do this. I definitely wouldn't. You know, I do well now, but yeah, I'm in the probably the top 1% of coaches, you know, out there in the world. But, you know, it wasn't like that always. I was at 24-hour fit. My last, people don't know, I was at 24-hour fitness for like 13 years. In my last year there, I made less than $40,000. My last 3 years there, I made less than $40,000 as like a manager and fitnessing. And I didn't care. I loved it, man. I loved every single day of work. And it didn't, it was never dictated by income. You know, and my happiness was never dictated by income. I had a smaller house and I didn't have as cool of a car. That's it. Everything else is the same. I still ate chicken. I still ate chicken and broccoli. You know, it's like chicken and broccoli is affordable at any income level. So yes, I really don't just eat chicken and broccoli, but yeah. So like, but being happy in life is the income, you know, it is the monetary gain, is the happiness. And I think that exactly. That's, if anything, you know, if you can find your true passion, whatever that may be, like give that a shot, man. At least give yourself the opportunity. Do it part-time until you can see if it works, whatever. Give yourself the shot, man. You deserve it. You absolutely do. And then hopefully one day someone could be talking about you and saying that you're great, you know, and that you're a giant, you know, and like, you're going to learn from a lot of people in life and take everything you can from these podcasts or from whoever else that you can learn from. You know, I'm learning right now from so many people, you know, just talking about Tamer and Tarek the other day, I learned from them, you know, like, and you know, there's this guy who said, you may see me as a giant, and that's only because I stand on the shoulders of the people who've gotten me here that I've learned from, you know? And I think that that's such a cool quote, you know, because hopefully you guys are picking something up from this and you're staying more motivated than you were before you press play. And anyway, with that, I guess we'll leave you here and say, I wish you all luck. I hope you follow your passion. I hope that you're obsessed, and I hope it works out for you even half as good as it has for us, because I'm loving life. And we'll talk to you next time.